Om Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Saha Viryam Karavavahai, Tejasvi Navaditamastu Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Let's check 21 and 22. We did 20.
Yeah.
So 21, 22. And then maybe we'll just do those two for now.
Rajom Shai Pancha Vishte Sham. Karmat Karmendriyani Tu. Vakpanipadapayupastha Abhidhananijakmire Tai sarvai sahitai pranaha
Vritti bhedatsa panchadha
Pranopanasamanascha
Udana vyana uchate punaha
So in the last two verses we looked at the sattva amsha of the five subtle elements, right? And seeing them each individually, they become each one of the sense organs. Seeing them collectively, they become the mind, the buddhi, and the manas. So now we have to do the rajasamsha. So repeat after me. The rajas amshaihi. So it becomes in Sunday, it goes like this. So it becomes rajomshaihi. It's really made of rajas and amsha. So it's a little tricky in the sandhi there. So rajomshaihi, then rajomshaihi, then panchabhihi, tesham,
kramat, karmendriyani,
tu, vak.
Pani, Pada, Payu,
Upastha,
Abhidanani,
Jagmire.
So
here, for the five elements, there's going to be five rajas amshas, five parts. And so each one of the elements will be sattva, rajas, and tamas will have a rajas part. So by the five rajas parts of the five subtle elements, for them in the order that we know from subtle to gross, right? They become the karmendriyas, the organs of action. So each element, the rajas aspect of each element will become a karmendriya. So it lists the karmendriyas here and according to the order that we know, which is space, air, fire, water, earth. So here, vak is from space, akasha, so vak, speech. Pani, you know, from the, what are they using for vayu? I'm used to vayu for the wind. So pani, hands. Pada, the feet for agni, for fire. Payu for the Varuna, for the water. Payu is the excretion. Upastha for Prithivi, the earth, is the sexuality. So these are the five Karmendriyas, organs of action that they point out. So being given in the proper order from space, air, fire, water, earth, Vak, Pani, Pada, Payu, Upastha, Abhidhanani, these are the names of these five different vrittis, these five different types. Jagnire means they are born. They are produced from the rajas aspect of the five subtle elements. So that we've been through, and it's just a matter of memorizing it. Viksana and others have also suggested making a chart. You know what I was thinking? It's really nice to have a chart. I used to actually have one, but I'm thinking that you could, Rasana, you could actually go on Google and say, and just see if there's any chart for the Panchakarana. There must be. You know, Tattva Bodha had a chart. I just don't have one with me. Kristen might have one online, maybe in your computer. I don't know.
We used to.
So we could check. It'd be nice to have that. So here, the register. What?
There is a chart. We put it, I think, on the Vedanta group.
Oh, why don't you look for it?
So we can.
There is a chart inside.
How did you find it?
I got it from the ashram, I think.
So. No, I know, but you can get it. You can take it off the.
Yeah, we
can print it out.
Okay.
Nice to have it. Or everybody can have it online. At least we could have it. Have it available, you know, on our computers.
Mm-hmm.
That would be great. Okay. So the rajas aspect. Then we have to remember that just like we took the five sattvic aspects of the five subtle elements, take them collectively, it became the antakarana. Antakarana means karana is instrument, anta, inner instrument. So this inner instrument, we know that it has really four vrittis, four different types of activity. And the ones they're labeling here are just two. So you have to put the other two in there. The two that they're labeling are manas and buddhi. I guess those are the major four, but you have to add in your mind, I think probably it will come up here later, you have to add in the citta, the memory, right, and the ahankara. So these are really the four vrittis. Four vrittis means the four activities of the antakarana. Okay, so now let's look at the collective for the rajas. So repeat after me. Taihi. Sarvaihi, Sahitaihi, Pranaha, Ritibhedat, Saha, Panchadha. Pranaha, Apanaha, Samanaha, Cha, Udana, Vyanau, Chate Punaha. Taihi sarvaihi sahitaihi, by all of these together, right? So collectively now, take all five of the rajas aspects of the five subtle elements. So collectively, take all five together. Taihi by these all sarvaihi sahitaihi together. So by these all together. Taihi sarvaihi sahitaihi. The prana, becomes vritti bedat because of the different activities. Here, vritti is activity, so because of the different activities, so the different jobs, you know. Saha panchada, it becomes fivefold. So the prana becomes fivefold because of these different activities. And so here, this fivefold, taking all of them together, you know, then they become the prana, which then divides itself into five different activities. And here are the activities. Prana. So prana here is the both prana and apana in terms of the outgoing and ingoing breath. So include that apana with another apana with the prana. And then keep apana separately. So you've got prana, standing for prana and apana, the outgoing and ingoing breath. And then take apanha as that which is responsible for like evacuation and that downward movement. Usually just think of the apanha, that pushing downward that allows for evacuation. Samana is the circulatory system. Okay. Prana, apanha, samana. Udana is the aperistaltic movement, that which pushes up And also, which, like, and for some things, you know, things like vomiting and regurgitation, that's considered udana. But most importantly, it's that udana that really ejects the entire prana, the whole prana with all five of its aspects. It ejects the entire prana from the physical body at the time of death. So that's an important function that's given to udana. And then dhyana. Samanas, the sutta. Did I get these mixed up? Mm-hmm. Did I say yeah? You can correct me. It's okay. Please feel free. Samana is the digestive system. Dhyana is the circulatory system, pushing it all around the body. Okay, dhyana. Chate punaha. And these are the five. The chate punaha. These are the five activities of the prana, which is born of the combination of the five. Rajas elements, right? Five Rajas aspects of the five subtle elements. Everybody remember all this? Okay. Now they've gotten this far, showing now we've shown how the sense organs, the jnanendriyas, the manas and the buddhi, with these, and the total antakarana, which is a combination. That divides into at least these two aspects, manas and buddhi. They've shown the rajas aspect, right, that takes care of the karmendriyas and takes care of also collectively the pranas. That makes 17 elements. These are the 17 elements that are responsible, that are the components of the sukshma sharira. Okay? The tamoguna is left out here because the tamoguna, the tamas, is responsible for itself becoming fivefold to become the stula sharira. So when you think of the sukshma, the 17 elements of the sukshma sharira of the subtle body, they're going to just involve the sattva and rajas aspects of the five subtle elements, which themselves never become grossified. It's only the tamoguna that becomes grossified to become the physical body. So now that they've told how all of these 17 components of the sukshma sharira arise, now they're going to define the sukshma sharira. Okay, in this next verse. You want to chant it for us?
Okay.
23. Yeah, 23.
Shariram saptarashab bihi.
Shariram saptarashab bihi.
Suksham talingam uchyate.
Suksham talingam uchyate.
Suksham. Let's go through this. Buddhi. Karmendriya. So buddhi, karmendriya, prana, buddhi, karmendriya, prana, panchakaihi, manasa, dhyā, shariram,
saptadashabhihi,
sukshmam, talingam, uchate. Okay, so buddhi is another word for jnanam. So we're used to jnanendriyas, you know, the jnanendriyas, the sense organs. Here, there's the buddhi, and this is a dwandra for Sanskrit people. Buddhi and karma is a dwandra. The buddhi indriyas and the karma indriyas, right? So the buddhi, the jnanendriyas and the karma indriyas. Means the sense organs, the five sense organs, and the five organs of action. So buddhi, karmendriya. Then prana, the five pranas, pancha prana. And then prana, pancha kaihi. So again, it's just the pranas, which are fivefold. Manasa, dhyā. Okay, so the jnanendriyas are five. Karmendriyas are five. The pranas are five. The manas is one. The buddhi is one, that's 17. Okay, 5, 5, 5, and 2, 17. So now it says, this shariram, saptadashibhi, this sharira, this body, with its 15 parts, saptadashibhi, with its 17 parts, sukshmam talingam uchate. It is called the sukshma shariram. So shariram, sukshma, sukshma shariram. It's also called the linga sharira. Often in the Prakarana Granthas that you read, instead of sukshma sharira, you'll see linga sharira. And the linga can be like in a logical syllogism, that which points to something. You know, that's what connects something with something else. And so sometimes when we use the word linga sharira, it's when we know that the sukshma sharira is there when the body is alive. So the presence of the sukshma sharira is there, is inferred by the aliveness of the body. You know, so the body being alive indicates that the sukshma sharira is there. Because when the body is dead, none of these things are there. Right? There's no karmendriyas are not working, the organs of action are not working, the sense organs are not working, there is no prana is completely gone, the mind is not there, the buddhi is there, there's been a major exit. Right? So the body has none of these, the life force is not there in the body, nor is any of the intelligence or anything. So sometimes it's called linga sharira, because when it's not there, you know that it is left. When it is there, then the body is functioning well. So sukshma or linga sharira, it is called. So these 17 components that made of the sattva, rajas, and tamas, subtle aspects of the 5 subtle elements, are what comprise these 17 elements of the subtle body. Everybody see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, we're still in the subtle, the world of the subtle, the 5 subtle elements. So here, let's do this next verse.
Prajñastatra bhimanena.
Prajñastatra bhimanena.
Taijasattvam prapadyate.
Taijasattvam prapadyate.
Hiranyagarbhatamishaha.
Hiranyagarbhatamishaha.
Tayor vyashti samishtita.
Samashtita, yeah.
Samashtita. Tayor vyashti samashtita.
Yeah. That's right.
Tayo
yashti samashtita. Prajñaha.
Prajñaha.
Tatra.
Tatra.
Abhimanena.
Abhimanena.
Tajasattvam.
Tajasattvam.
Prapadyate.
Prapadyate.
Hiranyagarbhatam.
Hiranyagarbhatam.
Ishaha.
Ishaha.
Tayor.
Tayor.
Vyashti.
Yashti.
Samashtita.
Samashtita.
Okay. Prajñaha.
Prajñaha.
What am I doing? Should we do it twice? Other things on my mind. Okay. Remember when I said for the Karana Sharira, we call the Karana Sharira for Ishwara, Ishwara, because Ishwara Hiranyagarbha Virat. The Karana Sharira for the Prajñaha is Prajñaha, then Taijasa, and then Vishwa. So remember that Prajñaha is Brahman, is the self, along with the Ajnanam. Okay? So Brahman, along with the Ajnanam, means whatever is sattva is going to have an ahankara. Wherever the sattva is, because it reflects consciousness, there will be an ahankara. Mm-hmm. I am that. Because there's nothing to differentiate the consciousness from the manifestation of consciousness in the sattva. So that's the ajnanam. So it's atma, it's the self with this ajnanam, becomes the knower. It's in when the creation is manifest in the dream state and in the waking state. So now that's why he says, prajñaha, prajñaha, tatra abhimanena, because of its identification with that. With what? With the sukshma sharira. Because of that, tatra means in with there. The abhimana, that sense of I is on that. It's placed there. What? In the sukshma sharira. Okay, so the prajñaha, by because of the abhimana there with the sukshma sharira, abhimana means that sense of identification, it prapadyate, taijasattvam prapadyate, it gains the stature of being called taijasa. It has that nature of being taijasa. It gains that nature. It gains that nature of that particular upadi, that twam for the taijasa. Taijasa means what? Is that it is subtle, you know, and so it shines more with the sattva. There's no physical upadi, you know, that is containing, as though containing it. And so it shines brightly. Tejas means shine. So taijasa is the one that has, that is brilliant, is luminous. That's the name they give it for. So it attains this stature of being called taijasa. Whereas Hiranyagarbhatam ishaha, ishaha prapadyate from the top line, ishaha, they both get prapadyate. The Lord attains the stature, Bhagawan, the Lord, ishaha, prapadyate, he gains the stature of being Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha means, so think of the whole Maya Upadi just on the subtle level. So that also is like it would be like if you want to divide this up from the standpoint of the body, physical body and the mind, Hiranyagarbha would be like the infinite mind where there's rajas and where there's sattva, the pervading of sattva, without any type of limitation. Whereas from the standpoint of the upadis, the jiva upadis, because the ajnanam is there, there's only the identification, goes only so far as the jiva upadi, the body, mind, sense organs, jiva upadi. So when we're talking about the subtle level, it's going to be the identification with the subtle body, right? It's only when we have go through this panchikarana that there's an identification with this physical body. So if we look at both prajna and ishvara, ishvara's identification is with the total sukshma sharira, that what we call Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha is the total sukshma sharira. The individual sukshma sharira is what we call taijasa. It has the same limitations, you know, because brought about by ajnani, that you have with the body, where the identification doesn't go farther than that sukshma sharira from the standpoint of taijasa. Do we see that? So there's two good terms here. So ishaha attains the stature of being Hiranyagarbha in reference to the subtle body, the total subtle body, and prajna gains the stature of being taijasa because of his abhimana identification with that. Okay. Then he says, tayoho vyashti sameshtita. He says, for both of these, there are two terms. And these two terms we use them all the time when you're teaching or you're following the shastra. These come up all the time. Vyashti and sameshti. So for each one, for the two, we have the vyashti upadi and the sameshti upadi. Vyashti means the limited individual upadi, whereas the sameshti means the total upadi. So the sameshti would be that all of the jivas, all of the waves in the ocean put together into one entity is the sameshti. So the Ishwara sameshti upadi, so this Ishwara is always the sameshti upadi, means the total upadi, where the jiva is always the vyashti upadi. Sometimes they use different examples, like, say, in a forest of trees, each individual tree would be vyashti. The whole conglomerate of trees would be sameshti, the whole group. So all the jivas put together would be sameshti. The individual jivas would be the vyashti. The only problem with that is that when you have, just to make it clear, because the, also, just to say a couple more things here, the Abhimana, Ishwara's Abhimana includes all of the jivas. So all of the jivas are myself, you know, because there's nothing blocking me to enclose me, to separate me as one entity within the creation. Because the sattva, for the Ishwara, the sattva is pervasive to the entire creation, everything in it is myself. Very similar, that's why using your imagination or dream is a good drishtanta for that, right? Because from your standpoint, the whole thing is me, right? Every part of it. It's like a cell in the body. You can look at it like that. It's like a cell for Ishwara, every part of the creation is a cell in my total, in the total body, of my total body. So I'm identified with the whole, and that being identified with the whole includes all of the parts, right? So all of the parts are me as one entity made up of many, many parts. But the sattva holds it all together so that there is only one self, one satchitatma that is reflected in that totality. You know, that's what makes it one. What makes it one, because there's many, you could say there's many all held together by infinite number of laws, but there are still many. They're held together by an infinite number of laws. They belong to one universe, so to speak. You know, one projection, one creation, they're all held together. So you say there's only one creation here. But that one creation is made of many, many conscious beings. You know, so why don't we look at it like that? To not look at it like that, you have to understand sattva, and you have to understand the nature of yourself, even in relationship to your individual upadhi. That's why this viveka is necessary. When I differentiate my being with the teaching, I differentiate myself from, first of all, this creation, everything that I have a subject-object relationship with. So that differentiation is very real. I'm the subject and this is the object. So for the external world, I do it in reference to every upadhi, my body, my sense organs, the prana, the mind, the buddhi, right? That subject-object relationship has to be recognized. It's not just a thought. The fact is that you remain the subject and these things you recognize as the object. It's the same. I objectify time, marking of change. I objectify space. There's still a subject-object relationship there. So what is happening in that viveka is my being is differentiated from this group, of experiences, including my upadhis where there's an identification. I don't really have a problem with taking myself to be different from you, but I'm taking myself to be different from you within the dream, you know? So that I'm different from you, who doesn't know that? I'm different from you, I'm different from this, I'm different from all of these things. That's why we don't bother with that, really. The viveka comes in the recognition that I, this me, is different from this body. That there's a subject-object relationship, that I don't know. The rest I just take for granted, but also in the taking for granted of the rest of it, I become part of this mithya creation. Because we're all different from each other, but we're all in it together in the same order of reality. As I do the differentiation, objectifying the body and the mind and the sense organs, etc., myself now sheds these upadhis. Time, space, I can no longer be defined by these upadhis, by your upadhis, or by anything in the creation at all. But once I recognize that, then we have to go over to it was Ishwara's predicament. Is the self of Ishwara something that's contained within the universe? If we think Ishwara is the whole manifestation of this whole creation, what about Ishwara's self? You know, does Ishwara's self exist within what has been established by Maya? Or is it also free of Maya? Are these things that are objectifiable to me also objectifiable to Ishwara? Or is the whole Ishwara the Maya Upadhi? If the whole Ishwara is the Maya Upadhi, then his consciousness has to be an object within the Maya Upadhi, which is not so. And so there is really what can be differentiated in terms of consciousness, in terms of the Vyashti Upadhi, can be differentiated in terms of consciousness for the Samashti Upadhi, for the total Upadhi, which then leaves only one self. Because everything that can differentiate me from you or me from Ishvara belongs to the creation. So we have different prakriyas for this. I'm just doing it really quickly for now. We have different prakriyas for this, but I'm left with myself, this conscious being, having the Samashti Upadhi is the manifestation of myself with Maya in the form of this infinite creation. Within this infinite creation, there are many Vyashti Upadhis, like trees in a forest or waves in the ocean, many Vyashti Upadhis that have no set, that cannot be separated at all from the Samashti Upadhi. They're part and parcel of this infinite Upadhi, all of which has me, conscious being, for its self. There's only one self. So what I'm saying, and we'll be doing this in more depth later as this text continues to unfold all of this. But the one reason why this whole Panchikarana, all of this, how does the creation come into being, why we're doing this, and, you know, so painstakingly, is so that Viveka is clear for us, that myself, that this body, mind, sense organs belongs to Hiranyagarbha. You know, Taijasa, the subtle body, is part of the total subtle body. My physical body is part and parcel of the total physical body. And the Viveka comes between me, the conscious being, and any and everything that can be objectifiable, which includes the entire Samashti Upadhi. And so if all of this time and space itself are objectifiable, my body, mind, sense organs are objectifiable, there is nothing to make for two conscious beings. Because anything that could divide us is objectifiable and belongs to Maya. So I am Ishvara. That's what it amounts to. I am Ishvara. This infinite manifestation of this creation enjoys myself for itself. Myself, why? It's not my. Has the self, which is me. We say like that. This manifest creation has me as itself. I am itself. And so it's so this body then, who does this body belong to? It belongs to Ishvara. And Ishvara is mitya. Ishvara doesn't belong to the self. The truth of the adhishtana of Ishvara is the self. Right? That means that the self is all totally pervasive to Ishvara. It's an expression of Maya that has no reality whatsoever apart from me. I am itself. Like your imagination, no objective reality. Nothing apart from you. You are its adhishtana. It's yours, you know, all of it. Everything that's going on in there, all of the different characters, all of the stories that are going on in that imagination, that's your story. So we have to see this, we have to see it on an individual level, and we have to translate it, in a sense, to the total level, so that you can realize that there's nobody else here. This is all me. Every single part of it. The whole Maya does not belong to somebody else. It's not there's some Ishvara over here that had some bright idea, you know, mm-hmm. to create this thing and we're all stuck in it. Mm-hmm. No. This is the natural expression of me, of myself. But not myself in terms of the Upadhis. The Upadhis belong to the total Ishvara. So another way you can think about it, the Upadhis belong to my infinite intelligent self. All of this is an expression of infinite or limitless knowledge. And then from the standpoint of all of the jivas, there's very limited knowledge. So this one here is limited knowledge. You know, limited everything. Limited shakti. Limited capacity. You know, limited memory. Limited intelligence. Limited everything. Because just a minuscule part to the infinite whole. So this minuscule Upadhi, this small, you know, Vyashti Upadhi, is like a cell in the body of Ishvara. of my total upadhi. You have to think of it like that. This is my limited upadhi. This is my total upadhi. Not somebody else's. This is myself, and everything in it is myself. Satya mitya. Because mitya has no other being apart, no independent being apart from me. It is an expression of me. Maya is an expression of me. It is an expression of infinite, as Swamiji will say, is of infinite knowledge. To understand, that's a beautiful way of describing the Sameshti Upadhi, the expression of infinite knowledge. Just like any imagination you have, any dream you have, any fantasy you have, any creativity you have, is an expression of your knowledge. Like if I ask you, you know, to think of an apple tree, boom, apple tree comes. That's an expression that rupa is an expression of the nama. It's an expression of the knowledge. So I ask you to have an imagination of a beautiful scene that you're sitting in some beautiful space. So something comes, some imagination, creative imagination comes. You know? All of that comes from you, is sustained by you, resolves into you. There's nothing there that is not you. There's no character that is not you. So there's a bunch of people in it. They're all you. All of the birds are you. All of the animals are you. All of the insects are you. Anything that comes in that imagination is you. So now say, instead of the limited knowledge that each jiva has, it's infinite knowledge coming into manifestation. That's what we call maya. That is maya. It is so real from within it. Yeah, because, you know, like, say this is a dream right now, and I say, how can you say this isn't real? Look, I can feel this. If I pinch myself, go ahead, pinch yourself. Don't you feel that? Don't you feel that? You know, try to lift up this table. It's heavy, you know? Of course this is real, you know. We exist together in this situation. This is our vyavahara. This is our shared reality. This is being talked in the dream, you know. It's so real from within it. Bhagavan gave us the dream. He gave us the dream and imagination, you know. It's, Swamiji calls it the Achilles heel. You know what Achilles heel is? It's the weak spot in the heel. Of Ulysses, was it? Who had the Achilles heel? Yeah. And so all you have to do is tap into that Achilles heel and everything falls apart. So here, having the dream drishtanta and having the drishtanta, the imagination, that's the Achilles heel of the reality of this creation. Paul Mandukya gets into this in incredible depth. So here now, we're just still at the Sukshma Sharira. The Hiranyagarbha in Taijasa. So Taijasa is the Vyashti, individual upadhi, and then the Sameshti upadhi is Hiranyagarbha. So Ishwara is Brahman with Maya in its Samavasta. So what Samavasta means is that the three gunas are just circling around within themselves. There's no manifestation. It's called Samavasta. You can also say the three gunas are just in unmanifest condition, but when we use the term samavasta, which is used here in the commentary, it's really a Sankhya term, which says when the prakriti is in unmanifest condition, the gunas are still there, active, but they are not active with each other, only within themselves. And so when they come out into manifestation, then the Ishwara with prajna, being the jiva with the ajnana, then manifests as the five subtle elements, and then each one of those subtle elements becomes threefold. The rajas, sattva, and rajas become all five of them become threefold. The tos two become twofold, right? And the sattva and rajas each become threefold. No, poor me. Okay, I'm going to try it one more time. Erase everything. Okay, erase everything. Okay, the five elements, the five subtle elements come, you know. Space, air, fire, water, earth. Okay, so far so good. Space, air, fire, water. Each of them divide into three parts, sattva, rajas, and tamas. Okay? The sattva elements take care of the five sense organs and the mind, right, collectively. The rajas takes care of the five organs of action and the five pranas, collectively the five pranas. We still have the tamas. The tamas now has to do something different, right? Because the tamas is set aside for becoming the physical world, which then is pervaded by the sattva, by the sukshma sharira. So, what do we have here? What time is it? So, prajñas tatra abhimanena tajasattvam prapadyate hiranyagarbha tam ishaha tayoho vyashti samishti tam. So your terms, big terms now, are the samishti and vyashti. You gonna do your thing tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Should we stop now then?
I think we're gonna do it.
Let's stop.
Yeah.
We did enough verses. Mm-hmm. Also, my mind's a little distracted.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.